If you want to follow along in your Bible this morning, it's from Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 12, and some other scriptures. We've looked at a number of priorities over the past few weeks. Last week was the priority of forgiveness. Did you find anybody this week that you needed to forgive? Did you find anybody this week that you needed to forgive? Yes. Well, we all do that. We need to do that. And when you are able to forgive someone, the Lord will bless you in a powerful and a mighty way. Forgiveness is one of the things that he understands so well because he forgave us of our sins and our shortcomings with his death on the cross. Cruz and Debbie Santiago. They were homeless, addicted to drugs, experimenting with witchcraft and anything else away from God that they could get their hands and their minds around. Except when they were in jail, their home was in cardboard boxes under Coney Island's Broadwalk. One day when Debbie was in jail, a warden gave her a Bible. And Debbie read the Bible every day because she had nothing else to do. She was turned out for exercise and meals, but between that, she had nothing to do, and so she read the Bible. One day when Debbie was in there, she finally was discharged. Even though she had read the Bible, she fell right back into her old way of life, using drugs, ended up in the hospital in a coma. When she woke up, she remembered reading about God's love in the Bible. She remembered John 3:16. She asked God to free her from drugs, and actually the Lord did. Freed her from the terrible, terrible life that she had been living. She decided to let Jesus Christ come into her heart, and she determined that she was going to live for him. When Debbie visited Cruz in jail, he noticed immediately a difference in Debbie. And he said to her, "You're clean." He didn't know exactly what he meant by that, and neither did Debbie. But he noticed that there was a difference in her life and in the way she conducted herself. Debbie gave Cruz a Bible, and he too began to read God's word. In time, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ out of the terrible life that they had been living. And as Paul Harvey would say, and now the rest of the story. Cruz and Debbie began a mission work among those who were homeless, addicted, and headed for jail. They preached the gospel. They fed on a daily basis about 60 people. Not a great fare, but sandwiches and something to drink. That's more than they had previously. And on Thanksgiving, they literally fed hundreds and hundreds of people. They did that because other people, other Christians, donated to their work. Every Sunday after church, they walked to the beach. And I didn't know this, but they found hidden places where people had taken up living. And they gave them sandwiches, and more important, they gave them the bread of life the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this happened not because of people, but because of the power of the Word of God. Debbie read the Scripture, and the Scripture so impacted her that she changed her lifestyle and accepted Christ as her Savior. And eventually, Cruz, her husband, did exactly the same thing. God's Word gives us instruction and guidance for everything in life, if we'll pay attention to it. The problem is we think we're smarter than the Bible. We think that we can do it on our own. We think that we can decide what's right and what's wrong. That's not true. But when will it come to the place where each of us accept the Bible as the Word of God and accept the Bible for everything that it has in it to help us, to encourage us, and to fill us with His Holy Spirit? This morning we're going to see what we are going to look at in just a very small way as we think about the priority of the Word of God. What should we think about? Acts 17, 11 through 12. This is what it says. Now the Berean Jews were more noble than the Thessalonians. They received the message with great what? Boy, I don't see that in our world today. I think Casey is an example of receiving the Word of God with eagerness. He was so hot back there, he said, I'm nervous. Well, and don't hold me under the water more than 2 seconds. Well, I think we did all of that. They examined the Scriptures occasionally. Every day. They examined the Scriptures every day. Wow. To see if what Paul said was true. By the way, they didn't have the New Testament as we have it, but they had manuscripts of the Old Testament. And Paul did a lot of preaching from the Old Testament, establishing that Jesus was the Messiah. And so these people, these Berean Jews, studied those Scriptures every day to see whether or not the Apostle Paul was telling the truth or not. Unlike the Thessalonians were, I don't know how to describe the Thessalonians. They were bullheaded. They trusted themselves more than they trusted God. And they really didn't like the Apostle Paul because he came preaching the Word of God and made it plain that without Jesus Christ you were lost. So the Thessalonians got rid of Paul just as quick as they possibly could. Many of the Jews believed as they studied the Scripture, as did a number of prominent Greek women. So it wasn't just that the Word of God touched the Jews in Berea, but touched some Gentiles, Greek women, and many, many Greek men. That is powerful. Not only did the Word of God teach the Jews who had a good background and could examine the Scripture to find out whether the Apostle Paul was teaching the truth, many Greek men, many Greek women came to the Lord as a result of preaching the gospel of joy. This must have been a wonderful, wonderful thing for the Apostle Paul. After being treated so shabbily in Thessalonica, basically kicked out because they didn't like what he had to say, but to come to the Bereans and have them check out the Old Testament manuscripts to see whether what the Apostle Paul was preaching was the truth or not. And it turned out to be the truth. And I think people ought to do that today. You ought to be taking notes on the sermon. I might be telling some kind of a fictitious thing. How are you going to know if you don't take some notes and then check it out to see whether or not it's the truth? We have two or three people who take notes. My wife takes notes, and I try to read her notes. I can't do it, but she understands what she has written. So whatever you do, you need to find out whether or not the pastors you listen to on TV or on radio or right here at First Christian Church, whether or not the truth is being emphasized. You don't know unless you check it out in the Word of God. We need to come into this place to worship with joy and to be able to be together with thankfulness that we can celebrate Jesus at this table that we've already done, remembering those things that I've already mentioned to you. God will speak to us through the message. He really will. But we want to make sure that it's the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? I really like these Bereans. They examine the scripture every day. It isn't like they didn't have stuff to do. They weren't a lazy people, but they worked into their busy activities every day some time to study the Word of God. They wanted to know for sure whether the Apostle Paul was telling the truth or whether he was like so many others that they had heard, that they were just after their money. We need God's reasoning, not man's reasoning. The only way they could come to the truth that it was the truth was because they studied the scripture every day. Notice, every day. How many of you read the Bible? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you read the Bible every day? It's there. It's there to be read every day. Do you have a system of reading the Bible? I asked our little man, Casey, and he said he was reading the Bible last night. Boy, I like that. Sometimes we are led by our children because they show us the way. So here were people who examined the scripture every day. Wow. When the Israelites left Egypt, God provided special food for them every day called manna. Now they had to go out and gather manna every day. Every day. If they didn't gather the manna every day, they didn't have anything to eat. That's true of us too. Not that we'd gather manna, but we gather the power of the Word of God in our lives. And if we don't do that, we're spiritually dead. We must study the scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let the Word of God be in you. Wow. That's an everyday thing. The King James Bible says of the Bereans, they searched the scripture. Another word would be study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We pay very little attention to that. We don't understand dispensationalism. We don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And consequently, we get terrifically confused by putting together dispensations that do not groove on one another. Do you ever question what you hear? Do you ever go home and say, well, what did he say? Do you open your Bible to find out whether or not we put the scriptures up there for you to look at? They examine the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many, many Greek men. If you don't know how to discern the word of God, you can easily be led astray. Leaders, teachers, and our elders, their responsibility is to make sure that the truth is being preached. And you have a personal responsibility to determine what is being taught to the people in this body of believers. But all of you are challenged to not just accept what someone else says is the truth, but to be like the Bereans. Search the scripture daily to determine what is true. Boy, they researched the word because they had a high regard for the truth. And I don't find that that exists much in this world anymore. Thirdly, the Bereans responded to God's word. Many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women. They responded because they studied the word, because they looked at those Old Testament manuscripts, and they heard what the Apostle Paul said about that, and wow. They put it into their lives and into the daily way in which they lived. What a glorious victory Paul had with the Bereans. Not so much with the Thessalonians, because they had closed hearts, as did other people that the Apostle Paul preached to. So I'm going to give you three words to take home. Three short words. Number one, learn it. You can remember that, can't you? Even if you don't write it down, you can remember, learn it. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith. And we live in that time right now. And follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Believe it or not, we live in those times right now. Demonism is at an all-time high. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been scarred as with a hot iron. So, it's your responsibility to learn the word of God. Something a little bit more than John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. If that's the one that you can learn, learn it. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Every scripture that you memorize will help you. So learn it. At least learn the basics about the Word of God. Study is required. Many of you have a college degree. You didn't get through? Well, maybe you did. Maybe you did. Maybe you did. A wonderful goal would be to read the Word of God daily. systematically, not haphazardly, not just open to the Bible. Gwen and I are through, just about through the New Testament again, and we like that. Every Christian would be wise to get into the Word, to cultivate and desire and learn. Be mentally alert as you study God's Word, because God has a specific thing for you. When you read God's Word, the Holy Spirit will bomb you with something that the Lord has for you. Do I believe God's Word is vital enough to feed on it daily? That's a question for you to answer. I can't answer that for you. We feed our bodies daily. If we were living on manna, we'd go out and pick up the manna. But do we study the Word of God daily? Is that a priority? Honestly, take a few notes. I couldn't probably read your notes. I can't read my own notes. But just some basic scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth became waste and wild, and God moved upon the face of the deep through the Holy Spirit. And there was day number one. Learn some of those scriptures from Genesis, the first chapter. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. That is really a powerful verse. And a lot of people are going to disagree with you, but I tell you what, that's what Jesus said. All have sinned and shall fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Memorize just a few scriptures and repeat them every day, and then slowly add another passage of scripture to what you're going to put in your memory bank. Learn the basics. Before he died, the guy who started a ministry in prisons wrote a book entitled Basic Faith. He said as he went around dealing with people, they had no idea what the basic faith was. So it's important to have the basics. Learn the basics, and it helps you discern, and it helps you to teach others. So learn that. Number two, what was number one? Number two is really simple. Love it. Do I really love the Word of God? The scripture says in Psalm 119:97, Law. Yeah. I meditate on it once in a great while. Yeah. Wow. So love it. If reading God's Word is not a joy, let me give you some suggestions. Find a new, easier to understand translation. And you know what, gentlemen? I'm going to give this morning. Bible storybook. It's Egemeyer. I think it's the best one that's ever been written. And if you can't do anything else, open this and read it. It It's so well done. And I'll bet you what? I'll bet you, Casey will have it read before you guys even get started. If you can't do anything else, read a Bible story book. It really helps you solidify the scripture, but make sure it's a good one. I think that Egemeyer's is probably the best one that's ever been written, but there are others. George Mueller was a man who started a number of orphanages and made a tremendous kingdom impact. He read the Bible 200 times in his life. Tell you what, he never sent out a letter. Every day we get 3 or 4 letters in the mail. We need money. If you don't send us money, we are going to croak. How many of you get letters like that in the mail? Yeah, all the time. But you know what? George Mueller never, ever sent out a letter for money, nor did he ever ask a church for money. He got on his knees and prayed. And the Lord poured out money for him, for the orphanages, that you would not believe. In fact, where he prayed, the carpet was worn through where he put his knees. That's how he took care of the orphans that he started and the orphanages that he started. There's a better way than sending out letters and letters and letters and letters and letters. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, James 1:22. So, number 2 is love it. And the last one, and I gotta quit, is live it. That's what it's for. We learn God's word by regular study. We love God's word, praising God as I read his word. Live God's word knowing I will fall short, but I will try. That's all God asks. He asks that we give it a shot. In the 1300s, in closing, in England, the Bible was only available in Latin. And if you weren't involved in Catholicism, and even those who were involved in Catholicism were not too well-versed in Latin. So only the priests could have a Bible. It was forbidden by the people to have a Bible, against the law. John Wycliffe believed God had called him to translate the Bible into English, even though that was considered illegal. But John Wycliffe kept at it. He was not only harassed, he was beaten, he was thrown in prison, but he avoided being burned at the stake miraculously. 41 years after his death, authorities decided that they wanted the name John Wycliffe to be totally forgotten as well as his translating work. So they dug up his bones and burned them and scattered him some crazy place. Today, Wycliffe is remembered and honored, and his work led to the Bible being translated into hundreds of languages. I talk to people, well, Pastor, I don't understand what it's saying. What translation are you reading? I'm reading the King James. Well, the King James is a wonderful translation in its time, but there are at least 2,000 words that have changed meaning, and a lot of those words in the King James don't mean the same today as what they meant then. And so when you read them, you get a little bit confused. But get a better translation. Find out what they're get the New American Standard. I like to read, check everything out in the Greek language. Not everybody does that. The New American Standard is probably the most accurate, but it's a little difficult too. But there are good translations. And if you need a better translation, come and see me. I'll give you one. So today, what have we learned? Learn God's Word by regular study. Love God's Word, praising God as I read the Scripture. And live God's Word, knowing I will fall short, but I will give it my best try. Amen? So, don't be a Wycliffe. If you need a better translation, if you need a way, if nothing else, read a Bible story book. An adult says, well, I don't want to be caught dead reading a Bible story book. I tell you what, it'll help you more than you believe. It will open your eyes, and it will help you to understand the Scripture if you read a good one. By the way, the baptistry is full of warm water. And you chickens, if you want to be baptized after services this morning and you're afraid that somebody might see you, we'll take care of that. Okay? Boy, I didn't get many okays on that one. But I know who you are, and I know when you need to do that. So our closing hymn this morning is Oh, How He Loves You. And He does. My goodness, it's so amazing. If we could just understand how much God loves us. So let's be standing and look at our hymn of invitation.